Or the other option is they're going to 3D print me a pelvis.
Neat!
Oh, what?
Metal?
So, out of titanium.
Yeah.
I hope it's that, because that sounds way cooler.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Nick Glover, Tim Wick, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, our guest is Renaissance Viking, paramedic, and gun enthusiast Chris Olson. We talk guns, gun laws, and gun culture.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Nick Glover. I'm joined, as always, by my co-hosts, Molly Glover.
Oh, hello.
And Tim Wick.
Bang, 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 bang.
Wow.
And John Wick, Coca-Cola, bang,
that,
bang.
Yeah. Was that
and today,
was that really insensitive? I think it might have been.
It might have been.
Okay.
We,
Foley thing?
We today we have a special guest with us. For the first time as our guest, we have Chris Olson.
Hi.
And he is going. We're going to talk about gun control, more or less. Gun regulation.
Gun stuff.
We figured we wanted to have someone educated and familiar with the topic that might not have the same viewpoint as us, just because we don't want a total echo chamber. And also, the three of us aren't super knowledgeable about guns, so like we don't know the reality of the way things are right now necessarily.
Nick knows a little bit about guns. He's probably the most familiar with guns. Well, I mean, honestly, it's not as much.
Yeah,
I know, but
I mean,
like, Tim and I are pretty useless. I
don't know shit about gun laws. I know about gun
safety.
I've never
fired a gun, and I don't want to.
I've fired a gun once, and it was super awesome. I would do it again.
Chris, you're a...
Stay away from me.
You're a paramedic.
I'm a paramedic, yep.
And you have some professional history with guns.
Yep.
What is that?
Paramedic for 24 years. I was a tactical medic for the FBI, along with several counties here in Minnesota. I'm also a firearms instructor for several different disciplines. And I've also helped to set up several active shooter scenarios for various schools and businesses around Hennepin and Ramsey County.
Is that like a simulate like a fire drill, but for shooting?
Very much so. It's the goal of those is to set up a plan, to set up a scenario that they can follow in the event that there's an active shooter situation, and it also works very well if there's a other type of catastrophe.
Mm-hmm. Sure, sure. It's also super morbid.
Very.
Yeah.
It's extraordinarily morbid.
Yeah.
It's worth mentioning that we are recording this just days after the attack in Florida.
Yep.
Yes.
And if you are not, we don't have a lot of listeners from the U.S., but I'm assuming you heard about 17 dead in Parkland, Florida, yep. And at a school, and that's what
mostly
prompted
kids,
us.
Mostly kids, but some teachers.
That's what prompted
dead.
Us to talk about this, because we yep. actually, we engaged it's... in some really great discussions online with Chris and yep. others, but... Chris, you're one of my favorite people to talk to about guns, because not only do you know your stuff, but you also, you have a kid, and you are a reasonable human being.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
You, oh boy. Mm-hmm. So, right now, if you're out to say, especially like maybe Molly or Tim,
mm-hmm.
we're Tim, what's a problem with guns right now, the way people can get them, or what's a... a common thing that people know of as a problem with getting guns.
You know, the thing is, I don't want to pretend I understand
but,
gun laws.
But what's the thing you hear
well.
About or that you think about?
A lot of what I think is a problem is gun culture. But from a law perspective, I see more of the issues seem to be around who can get access to firearms.
Okay. So, and I know there's federal laws and then there's state laws, so mm-hmm. it can vary a lot from state to state.
God bless America.
states' rights. But generally, what gets checked?
When you go to buy a firearm at a licensed dealer, the first thing they do is when they get all of your information, name, address, date of birth, social security number, and then they call the FBI. The FBI does a simple background check using the National Instant Criminal Background Search, NICS for short. Mm-hmm. And it's a very basic criminal background search to find out if you have a warrant, if you have a conviction for domestic assault, if you have any current orders of protection against you, and that's really about it.
Is that here in Minnesota?
That's national.
That's national, so okay.
When the dealer makes that call, they're calling, well, they're actually calling Red Wing, Minnesota, but they're calling a an actual national phone number and giving all their information.
So if you have a sealed juvenile record, for instance, that wouldn't show up?
Unless it was a felony.
Do you have to show identification?
Yes.
So that's interesting because there's been a lot of memes going around being shared by, I live in a liberal echo chamber for the most part, and there's been a lot of memes going around saying like, you know, there's one that was like, states where you need an ID to buy a gun, and it was very few, and it was like, states where you need an ID to vote, and it was all of them, you know, and so...
Where that comes from is a very inaccurate survey that was done in 1994.
Hmm.
They phoned 400 people in a small town in Virginia and asked them if they had firearms in their house and did they go to a licensed dealer to get those firearms. And 40% of them said that they didn't because they had inherited them from family.
Sure, yep.
And so where that comes from is if I wanted to sell a gun to Nick, I know Nick, I don't need to get a copy of his ID. I could sell him a firearm.
Mm-hmm.
But in some states, they passed laws that said that you have to make that transaction through a licensed dealer.
Okay. But so, like, you could sell a gun to a rando from Craigslist without checking ID or anything. Like, that's your right as an owner of a gun.
Yep, as long as we're in the same state.
Yeah.
So, if I was from Wisconsin, there would have to be some licensure involved.
You'd lie.
Well, if you lie, I want to know about that because I'd really like to collect that $5,000 reward for doing that.
Sure, sure.
There are some serious penalties for selling a firearm across state lines.
I have a question. Sure. So I I don't want to say incarcerated, but I have been hospitalized long-term inpatient in a mental hospital twice. Once for eating disorder, but once for psychotic mania.
Mm-hmm.
That is what it says on the intake form, that I was suffering from a psychotic manic break. I was not a harm to myself or others at the time, but still, delusions, all that stuff. Are there any laws that prevent me from owning or conceal carrying a firearm in Minnesota?
Well, Minnesota is a little different.
Mm-hmm.
Because our background check for our permit to carry is more in depth than the actual federal NICS background check. In Minnesota, my permit to carry, I can walk into a gun store and I can actually buy a gun and I don't have to go through that NICS background check because our background here in Minnesota is better.
Mm-hmm.
But unless you are judged mentally incompetent by a judge,
right?
That stuff will not show up on your background.
Because of HIPAA. Yeah. That's what I thought. Because you hear a lot of people talking about, like, oh, the mentally ill are the problem. And mental illness, you know, if you've been, those people shouldn't be able to get guns. But, I mean, I can get a gun. So,
yep.
Also, I'm fine.
Well, I totally think that medical privacy is super important.
Yes.
And I think HIPAA is largely a really good thing.
Yep.
But also, I feel like this is a blind spot.
I'm in agreement.
Yeah.
I'm in agreement. I work as a paramedic. Our primary clientele are people who are homeless, they have got significant mental issues, and we don't treat these people, let me rephrase that, our societal way of treating these folks is bring them to the hospital,
mm-hmm.
give them three hots and a cot, and cut them loose.
Yeah, right. The hospital won't hold them unless they're... And even then, it's a 72-hour hold, and that's only if you're threatening yourself or other people, and it's credible.
Yep.
It's very easy to get released from the hospital, let me just tell you. Yeah. I've done it.
So I do have a couple of questions.
By all means.
You have a concealed carry permit.
I do.
Which means you can walk into a gun store, present that concealed carry permit, and they can sell you a gun without a background check.
Right.
Now, is that concealed carry permit revoked if you were, say, if a restraining order was pulled out against you?
Well, This is actually a question that was just brought up to me a week or so ago. If you get an order of protection put against you, mm-hmm. now that could be an order of protection because of harassing behavior, you know, perhaps you said the wrong things to someone and they felt that it was harassing. It's a non-violent type of thing.
Okay.
So that's a little different. But if it was one of those things where if my spouse
you hit your kid, maybe. Yeah,
I hit my kid and I'm being investigated for a felony like that. The sheriff will take your permit to carry, and then they will keep an eye on you.
Hmm.
And
do they take your guns too?
Well, that's where it gets. They will request that they be removed from the house. And oh, actually, no, I take it back. They can. If they can have a reasonable suspicion that you are a danger to yourself mm-hmm. or other people, they can confiscate. But there's a lot of legal stuff that I am not 100%.
Yeah. Sure.
Chris is not a lawyer.
I'm not a lawyer.
Yeah.
Okay, and then my other question was about homeless people. You've worked with a lot of homeless people, mm-hmm. Clearly, who have, many of whom have definitely mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
How many of them have guns?
I have yet to find one with a gun.
Okay, yeah. I was just curious. Yeah. I just wanted to know.
I feel like it's one of the first things you sell. You know,
seems low on the priority list.
Yeah,
box cutters are their big.
Oh, okay.
I'm disposable. Curious because I know Nick went and got Nick had his conceal and carry, and he didn't renew it, I think. But what did you have to go through? Then Nick also, if you could say, what did you have to go through to get your conceal and carry permit?
Well, I'm a little different. I got my permit to carry through a police officer friend of mine.
Okay.
Who is a firearms instructor for his department. So when I went through my class, we went through a great deal of education on the law.
How many hours was your class?
My class was an 8-hour class.
Okay.
We did a lot of instruction on the law, and then we went out and did a lot of shooting.
Okay.
The state statute, because I used to teach concealed carry.
Yeah.
The state guidelines for permit to carry are fairly vague. The class is not designed to teach you how to handle a gun.
Right.
Right.
The class is designed to tell you the laws about what you can and can't do, tell you where you can carry and what to do, you know, while you're carrying, and those laws.
Mm-hmm.
You could conceivably get a permit to carry class done in about 3 hours. I always tell people you get what you pay for.
Yeah. What was yours like?
Mine was about 3 or 4 hours. It was at, like, a Gander Mountain. And it was a class of about me and 30-some other people with one instructor. Kind of a typical classroom-type setting, and then there was a range.
Right.
I fired about 10 shots total. Because with those 10 shots, I was able to prove within whatever judgment seems to be totally subjectively up to the instructor that I was proficient.
You got it on paper.
Right, yep. But like you're saying, the vast majority of the class was about legality.
Yep.
Yeah.
What
to do if you get pulled over.
Well, and no, one of the things that they really stressed quite a bit was that the responsibility, the fact that if you are carrying, you are always... So you are always the one that has to de-escalate. You are always have to remove yourself from the situation. It was quite a bit of responsibility and kind of like cover your ass type legal stuff, which is responsibility.
Well, Florida has a stand your ground law.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Minnesota does not.
Correct.
Well, and this is what bothered me. I mean, a lot bothered me about the Philando Castile murder. But what really bothered me was he was following the instructions they give you when you have a permit to carry.
Yes.
Which is the first thing you do is to say, "Officer, I have a weapon on me.
Yeah.
And people said that as, oh, he was threatening them by saying he had a gun. It's like, dude, this is like the first thing you're supposed to do is to say that. Like,
well, and when you watch the video, it's just like the dude emptied his clip.
That's actually
a whole different part of the training.
Magazine.
I know nothing about guns.
That's okay. I use the term interchangeably, and it's
the only reason I corrected you is because Chris is here, and I knew he'd appreciate it.
And Chris don't care. but it's one of the fundamental reasons why when we do look at these, because he emptied his magazine, it illustrates why some of these, you know, mass shootings we have been so big.
Mm-hmm.
And I can get to that in a second. But due to the fact that the Philandro Castile, I have a hard time saying his name.
Yeah.
It's happened actually in the service area that I provide.
Oh, yeah.
I have to be careful about what I say.
Absolutely.
That's fair.
Understandable.
That's fair.
But
it happened a mile from my house.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Well, you live like half a mile from my house.
Well, so yeah. Why are mass shootings so massive?
So it's because of, and this is where I usually get evil looks from my friends more on the right side of the world.
Oh.
We have more bullets now.
Yeah.
I did some research. I actually did some research on this, and I actually had to like print this out because I actually didn't believe this.
Okay. All right.
Because to me it goes completely against everything that we've been talking about. But let's see, where was it? So between 1900 and 1982, there were whatever the number for that.
Sure.
Yeah, whatever it was. We had, I lost my numbers here. We had roughly 106 mass shootings.
Okay.
On average of,
well, in 82 years.
In 82 years. It's roughly like 1.1 year.
Which is still not good.
It's not good.
But it's almost like you can kind of expect it, I guess. Like, I mean,
And then understand that the National Institute of Justice classifies any time there's more than three people shot as a mass shooting.
Right.
In like one location,
in
right?
one location as a mass shooting. When we get to the period of time between 1982 and 1994, it shoots up to 18.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
From 1994 to 2004, and we factor in the Columbine shooting there.
Yeah.
We had 15, and that's Columbine.
Yeah.
From 2004 to 2016, we've had 34.
Hmm.
And then hasn't there been like 19 just this year?
Well,
school shootings.
Yeah.
And that can be anything from a suicide in a school.
Okay.
500 feet of the, within 500
okay.
feet of the school.
Yeah.
That's
it can
okay.
be a discharge of a weapon.
I was
going to
say, basically a weapon discharge within 500 feet of a school is a school shooting.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's good to know.
But you were saying.
So, anyhow, the neat thing that happened in 1982, Glock firearms came out with the Glock 17, which was then became mainstream in the U.S. New York City police adopted it, and I forget how many thousand police officers they had there.
Yeah.
And then it became, and then of course the civilian market, they want the same gun.
Thank goodness
right.
for 9/11 taking
because,
out those New York police
because
officers,
listen,
right? Wrong, wrong.
Listen, if the cops
joke,
have them, we have to have them because we are the well-regulated militia of the goddamn Second Amendment.
Yeah. Well, and we can go back to that.
Uh-huh.
or even like, you know, it's what my cop buddy has.
That's exactly it.
My friend who's into guns is a cop, and I love guns.
Yep.
And
then we look at 1985, when Beretta became the firearm for the United States Army. And if you take a look at all of our favorite action movies from that period of time. John McClane runs around Nakatomi Tower with his Beretta. Mel Gibson's character, whose name escapes me, in Lethal Weapon.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Riggs. Yeah, Riggs. Another. Yeah, I mean, so of course, we see this and we want this. And of course, you know,
And it's glamorized.
It's very much glamorized. You know, the gun culture in the U.S. is very glamorized.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've got airsoft competitions that happen all the time. People who have firearms that function exactly like the real thing. They just shoot plastic BBs and they run around and shoot each other.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, we get into, you know, Nerf battles and
guns, super soakers.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I just dug out some of the old squirt guns I had when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
We had some really cool looking squirt guns.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyhow, and I don't want to sit there and say that this is the A number one contributor, but I think a lot of these, we feed a lot of the stuff into this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't realize I'm running.
No, no worries. What would you say that law changes have made it easier or different, or like any change in regulation over, like, let's just arbitrarily say the last 20 or 30 years, has that?
Yes and no. One of the things we found when we passed permit to carry laws, like shall issue laws,
mm-hmm.
what we saw is we actually saw a decrease in violent crime. Now, that's from the National Institute mm-hmm. of Justice. What we also found out is that the most law-abiding people ever are permit to carry holders.
Hmm.
Minnesota has had 3 revoked because of a violent incident since we passed ours in 2003. We've had people who have had them and then let theirs lapse who've done other dumb things.
Sure.
But one of the things we saw with, we actually saw an increase during the assault weapons ban from 1994 to 2004, which made no sense. And of course, we've seen a major increase after that, and that's because we had, after 2004, every manufacturer on the planet decided they were going to start making firearms.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, you can buy a Kmart model Remington 870 shotgun.
So is a part of the problem that there's just too many fucking guns?
We have 300 million firearms in the United States.
And I think I've heard people cite that statistic when people say, like, well, you know, in Australia, you know, they banned them and everyone turned them in. They had a turn-in program. And it's like, I mean, I don't even know where we'd start with the infrastructure to do that.
Well, I don't even think you have an option to start because the Second Amendment pretty much.
Let's say we repeal the Second Amendment. Yeah. Where do you go?
Well, here's what happened in Australia.
Yeah.
So they estimated they had roughly 2.5 million firearms mm-hmm. in civilian hands. When they passed their law, they got 200,000 guns turned in.
Mm-hmm.
And they kept having to do these things and they kept passing mm-hmm. more laws, but they still think that they've got about 1 million firearms that might be out there in the ether. And I'm basing this simply off of statistics I've read in very firearm friendly periodicals. So if I'm wrong,
it's get unbiased information on guns.
Oh, it is. It's extraordinarily hard.
And it's good, even if it's not necessarily 100% accurate, it's good to hear the other side of what the other, side, I guess.
We can't even study the impact because the CDC, who handles that stuff, is barred from actually being able to get accurate data.
That's what's the most fucked up. So there's 2 things that are the most fucked up. That is super fucked up, is that we can't even study it because I don't have a problem with guns, and this is something I said on Facebook. I have a problem with the gun lobby.
Right.
That is who just like everything in America,
the lobby is evil,
and they are out for money only, and they don't care about human life.
I'm right there with you. I have to be part of it in order to be an instructor so I can get my insurance.
Sure.
But it's like,
even that's fucked up.
Yeah.
You have to be a member in order to get the insurance and to be an instructor.
Right.
Like,
there's nothing else you have to be a member of to get insurance on, really, that I can think of. Like,
it surprises me that since so many folks who are on maybe like the more right side of the political spectrum are typically against things like unions with forced memberships, that you would have to become a member of the NRA to do all this stuff seems like a corporate union.
So I'm sorry, I wanted to go back to Australia a minute before we lost it. So estimation 1 million guns still in the hands of civilians.
Yeah.
But is it reasonable to assume that since the laws against gun ownership are so strong, that those guns are simply not being used because
they're being used like out in the outback somewhere?
Can you buy ammunition?
But it's easier just to make your own.
Yeah.
So if you're in the outback and you're shooting cans on your ranch,
right?
Nobody gives a flying fuck.
Right.
And the odds of doing a mass shooting out there are really slim because there are only 5 people.
What are you going to shoot, a bunch of kangaroos? Yeah. Dingoes?
Kangaroos are like wild hogs.
Yeah, they're nuisance animals.
You can shoot them all you want. They're deer.
Worse. They're genuinely nuisance animals.
Okay, so I just wanted to understand where that went.
And that's the thing. And you can actually get a fire. You can get a gun in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
You have to go through a lot of paperwork. You have to go through a lot
to prove you need it.
Yeah,
for work, right?
Yeah, you have to prove you need it. You have to prove, and I think that's really where a lot of these like the quote unquote missing firearms are. Mm-hmm. These are in hands of legal people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
whatever.
Or collectors, or
heirlooms. I have a ranch, and I have a gun so I can shoot kangaroos.
Yeah.
Well, and so here's something that I think is, I really think that there's, we talked about the glamorization of guns.
Absolutely.
And it's funny, because I was thinking when you said that about Die Hard and
yes.
things, and it's like, yeah, no, you're right. I mean, that was one of the, we have a lot of movies like that. I remember when I,
machine gun.
When I played GoldenEye, I remember, like, I used to have weapons preferences
oh, yes.
in GoldenEye. Like, there were weapons I liked better. Like, I liked
oh, yeah.
the Russian guns, you know,
yep.
like it's, but I think there's this American ideal that we have, which is I should be able to have anything I want if I can afford it.
Yes.
And that's this idea that if I have money, I should be able to have it. That is my freedom. That is the freedom
mm-hmm.
of America. Do I want
capitalist society?
Yes. And so I think that's a big part of it. Whereas, like, you know, the thought that the government would say, no, if you want a gun, you have to prove you need it.
Right.
As opposed to you can just say you want it.
Right.
Proving we need is not something that Americans like to do.
Right.
And Chris, this is a question to you as a gun owner. Do you think that part of gun culture in America is the fact that the Second Amendment exists? The fact that we wrote the right to bear arms into the Constitution?
Right. That's exactly where it comes from. And it comes from what was written 2 years after the Second Amendment was ratified. The Militia Act of 1793, which said, and it was what it was a clarifier for the Second Amendment, that said that every able-bodied, you know, free American, or at the time it was free man.
Yeah.
But
white man.
Yeah. Well, right.
Can't let the slaves have guns, guys.
I should lend you my copy of The Negro and the Gun.
Oh, yeah.
Which talks a great deal about the fact that there were huge swaths of African Americans at the time who were heavily armed.
Oh, wow.
But anywho, I'm getting way off topic. But anyhow, so, and it's this whole thing about, you know, you should have a firearm because you have to protect yourself against invading forces. Because
mm-hmm.
bear in mind, they had just fought a war. They were still, you know, looking, you know, slant-eyed at England across the way.
Mm-hmm.
They justifiably
expected England
yeah.
to come back and try and reclaim
yeah.
their territory.
Or
which
some
England,
other country.
Oh, don't forget all the natives
yeah.
that we had to kill
oh,
because
yeah.
they were trying to steal our land.
from themselves.
Yeah,
right.
yeah.
yeah.
yeah. But I mean, and at the time, there was a legitimate need, and it created this whole mystique.
Yeah,
you know, about the firearm, that blued steel and wooden stock that has that uncommon, you know, virtue, blah 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 blah.
Man,
out on the
find my fortune and defend
yes.
my
man
land.
Man versus
and
wilderness.
It's
yes.
it's romantic.
It
yeah,
is.
So. It's a romanticized thing.
It's
yeah.
the same way we romanticize the prairie and
yes.
cabin
yeah.
living,
the
and
West,
living off the land,
I mean,
and finding your own fortune
the,
and bootstraps.
The,
and
the push West is inherently tied to guns.
Oh, absolutely.
When we think of anything to do with the West, the first thing we think of is like gunslingers,
Billy the
and
Kid,
bandits,
Annie Oakley,
and
like
train robbers,
yeah.
and
oh yeah.
It's. I
yeah.
think that it's very interesting because, you know, there's, you know, I've been talking to people about how I find it so ironic and horrifying that, you know, one person was killed by lawn darts and lawn darts are now illegal and never
yeah.
made again, right?
I have two sets of them.
Three kids worldwide choke on toys and Kinder eggs,
yep.
and we can't buy Kinder eggs in the U.S. with toys inside, right?
Yep.
You know, the Tide Pods. They're already trying to regulate Tide Pods
oh,
right
no.
now and try to like make laws about what
yep.
they have to do about that. And yet, you know, we all take our shoes off at the airport forever because
yep.
of one failed shoe bombing. But like when it comes to guns. All that the politicians can say is, now's not the time, or what are we supposed to do?
Well,
like, they can't even think about it.
And we've actually passed laws. 1984, they banned the import of, it was like 40-some-odd firearms.
Mm-hmm.
So what did those companies do? 2 years later, they built factories here in the U.S.
Exactly.
And made them domestically.
Because you know what that is? That's not gun control. That's fuck you other countries, America first.
No, that's exactly
well,
it.
Or, I mean... And a lot of it is, I know a lot of people quibble about the definition of assault rifle and that it's kind of bullshit-ish. It's not a meaningful definition for regulating guns.
It's not.
It's a scary term for scary guns.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean
yeah.
much technically.
Because people don't know how to semi-automatic, and then you get someone who's like, oh, well, cops carry semi-automatic,
right.
so should they not
right.
have guns? You're like, come on, man.
So...
Assault rifles.
Right. So when we get something like this where we're trying to ban on a term that's a non-technical term, really, when we do come up with a ban on something technical, manufacturers can easily reproduce the same results with a different mechanism.
Yeah.
So if you ban this particular type of firing mechanism because it's dangerous, they can just build a gun that operates in a different way but achieves the same results.
That's exactly it.
Well, then here's the answer. Is the answer to limit ammunition?
Well, it's $5,000.
I mean, for real. Like, if it was, well, if it was $200 a bullet,
people can make their own bullets. It's not expensive.
Yeah. But that's the thing is, like, the when you every mass shooter you've heard about, do they make their own bullets?
No.
It seems like a lot of work.
Exactly. And that's the thing. When you're pissed off at your school, when you're pissed off at the nurses that made you mad or whatever else, the fucking, when you're pissed off at America, you're going to go to a concert. Like, no one's out there making their own bullets to be able to. It's just, that's, I feel like, sure, people are still going to get shot.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not saying no one should get shot. I mean, no one should get shot. But you know what I mean? Like,
I feel like making your own ammunition requires some level of knowledge and discipline. Yes.
And intent.
That I feel like is an additional barrier that might not be seen in people that go on mass or spree shootings.
Tim has questions.
So I do have a question. So we're talking about this. Chris, as somebody who definitely is more of a firearms expert than me, when you look at something like mass shootings in America, because I think all of us can agree, no matter where our position is on guns, we don't want to see a bunch of kids get shot up in school.
I don't see anyone get shot, but yeah.
But I mean, we don't want to see anybody get shot for any reason. But you definitely, I mean,
kids in school is a pretty clear line.
It's a really clear line of, we would like this to stop.
Right. Yeah. I'm in agreement.
And we accept that, all right, well, if you pass a law that says this particular type of magazine is now illegal, they could just make another type of magazine and making it a generic law of saying you can't have a generic kind of magazine like this is going to get challenged because it's too generic. And how do you really enforce that law? So are there any ideas that anybody has been putting forward that can do anything? Because my feeling is always like, because what I see so often is, well, this won't stop it from happening. And I'm like, yeah, but if we could reduce, if you could come up with a something to implement that would result in 10% fewer mass shootings, I'm okay with that.
Anything.
I'm okay with 10% fewer kids in schools getting shot. So, are there any ideas that you've
actually
seen?
There are, and there's a now we can't completely copy what another country does because we have our laws. But if we look at someplace like Switzerland, Switzerland, they got a lot of guns in Switzerland.
Yeah.
Because their population is their standing militia.
And they're isolationist a bit.
They're very much isolationist. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But they have laws that you have, you know, for storage. There is no law in the U.S. that says that I have to keep my firearms in a safe. Mm-hmm. I do. And I also...
You're a reasonable person with a child.
Well, I'm a reasonable person. And I also take the functional pieces out of my guns and store them separately because I have a child and he has friends over and the last thing I want is for them to...
Yep.
You know, I trust my kid, just not that far.
You trust him to be a kid, though,
that's
too.
The
like,
thing.
That's the thing.
That's exactly it.
But anyway, so I mean, we can pass laws that say it has to be, you know, safe storage. But one of the things that we also need to do, and we talk about this whenever we talk about an active shooter situation, is we need to stop the shooter before he becomes a shooter. That's one of the most heartbreaking things about this Florida event last week. The FBI was told twice about this young man. The school, you know,
he'd been fucking around in his neighborhood for years. Torturing animals, hitting people, hurting people.
And people went to the FBI. And the FBI's like, well, we didn't feel we had enough information. You know, you had videos that this kid had put on. You know, his manifesto of wanting to be a school shooter.
Which makes you wonder, though, how often are they receiving these sorts of tips? And this isn't me saying fuck the FBI. I'm saying... How often are they receiving this that they didn't see this as something that required follow-up?
What can he
often,
do?
Very, yeah. very often.
If he hasn't done anything illegal yet, other than right. being threatening,
this isn't Minority Report.
What do you do to him? Do you put the kid on like have an FBI agent follow him around?
You can well, but that there again, you know, if he is demonstrating that he is an active threat, yeah, we have the Patriot Act.
So here's a question: is how much of this is racism, in the sense that like because he was white,
because
I think that how often does the FBI feel that because of the Patriot Act that they follow up on this shit when the shooter is of Middle Eastern descent? Yeah. Or when the person in question, I mean, do they have their hands full with being people reporting their neighbors for Al-Qaeda when they're just because they're brown? Or is like, where's the bottleneck here?
That I don't know.
Yeah.
I would, that is a question that I have been asking for the last week.
I read a little bit about the number of reports that are reported about people's behavior, about people that are like, I think this guy could be a shooter. And the article talked a lot about really toxic online culture. Specifically, they talked a lot about 4chan.
Yeah.
And they talked a lot about how this sort of like shitlord culture
incels
will joke and talk so freely about school shooting, and it gets reported that there's a really high number of these things that are getting reported, and that it's hard to take seriously because if you're within the context of poll on 4chan mm-hmm. and you're joking about school shooting and a school shooter being an hero, like it's more of a joke until it's not a fucking joke and someone
situation.
Does it. Right. So like I feel like yes, we should be catching these folks before it happens.
Right.
But like
how?
And that's the hard part.
So, okay. And the one thing, and I want to ask your opinion on this, mm-hmm. but first I've kind of taken this on as one of my personal vendettas in the wake of school shootings
mm-hmm.
is the false flag of mental illness.
Mm, yes.
That what happens, and this is, I believe, sourced through the NRA. The NRA uses mental illness as a way to deflect the conversation away from guns.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not we should be talking about guns, but so they use mental illness, and of course they bring it up, and then nothing is ever done, and nothing ever will be done.
And they just say mental illness.
They
don't have any specifications.
They just say it's a mental health issue.
Oh, mental illness is the problem.
And I have a real problem with the stigmatizing of mental illness as a source.
I agree.
Of these shooters, because you know what studies suggest is it is an anger issue,
mm-hmm.
not a mental health issue.
Right.
If it was a mental health issue, why are almost all of these shooters men? Because women suffer from mental illness at the same rate as men, and yet they don't shoot up schools. You know,
mental illness is prevalent in other countries that also have guns that don't have this problem.
Yeah.
Right.
So mental illness feels like a false flag. It doesn't
convenient
feel
scapegoat.
Like something that we can address that will solve this problem. At the same time, mental illness is an issue that should be addressed for entirely different compassionate reasons.
Oh, I agree.
That have nothing to do with shooting. But as somebody who I believe is an advocate for proper gun use
mm-hmm.
and proper gun ownership,
mm-hmm.
how do you respond to that?
I'm in agreement with you. We years ago, that was always the big thing of, oh, there must be something wrong with that person.
Mm-hmm.
But experience and after watching this and actually having studied how these things fold out, the biggest thing was helping to set up active shooter scenarios. These are people that have got significant anger issues, and for whatever reason, they get it in their head that they are somehow the downtrodden and that they
mm-hmm.
have to, Susan Klebold, Dylan Klebold's mother. Dylan
yeah.
Klebold
yeah.
was one of the Columbine shooters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's wrote several books, and she did a TED Talk where she was talking about the things she learned about her son after the fact.
Oh boy,
man.
If you get a chance to watch the YouTube video, it's pretty heart wrenching. Just how, you know, what she said, and she talks a great deal about the fact that, you know, a lot of anger and how we have to, and I don't have an answer for how we can deal with those people. What I do know is that we need to find ways of making it so that way these guys can't get to a point where they are feasibly able to cause a mass shooting event.
I think so. Cognitive behavioral therapy is something that helped me significantly. It is something that I think if not taught in schools, I think anger management should be taught in schools. Mm-hmm. I think that it should be part of health class and just learning ways to deal with your anger, ways to diffuse. And as opposed to the way we just sort of talk about mental illness in health class as like, this is what schizophrenia is, and this right. is what's this is what this is, and this and like
if they even get that
if
much
if they yeah. even do that right. But like it usually ends up being like, oh, and mental illness is a thing, and if you ever think you or someone you know is having problems, call a counselor.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
that's, they just gloss over it. And I think as much as we do sex education and as much as we do like mitosis and meiosis and all that shit, like we need to be teaching kids starting in like grade school how to handle your emotions and how to sure. live with emotions as a person.
Well, and then to tap onto that, you know, my question is what changed between the 50s, 60s, and 70s, and then the late 80s, 90s, and 2000s. You know, what, mm-hmm. how, what, then that's a question I have. Tim, you were raising your hand like you had a question.
Well, I know, but I wanted to let you.
I will say to that, though, Chris, I will say I think a big part of it is movies and culture, and the advancement of special effects, and therefore the advancement of gun glorification, because it's easier to show people getting shot now.
It's freaking cool.
But it looks fucking great. I fucking love it. Like John Wick, dude, I laughed the whole way through. I love it. Like, it's
I think the stepping up of manufacturing and accessibility, just mm-hmm. the sheer number of guns, and
I can order the parts kit for under $300.
Right.
Build
or accessibility.
And the bump kits and modifications being readily purchasable online is a problem.
Yeah. Well, and I think the gun culture, the glorification yep. of gun ownership, the fact that, and I have friends who are very strong gun advocates who, whenever somebody talks about gun control, they talk about being attacked personally.
Yes.
And I'm always like, well, here's
you
the
are
problem.
Your gun.
Here's the problem that I have, because they also at the same time talk about a gun being a tool,
right.
a tool that is designed to kill.
Right.
But it's a tool. So if we are attacking a tool, then we are not attacking you because you are the tool user.
Right. Yep.
You're the tool.
but so there feels to be this cultural
identity
yes. that possession of guns is a right, not a privilege.
Because
part of what defines me as who I am.
A sports car.
Yeah. It's and I think it's very much been. It's not just the glamorizing, but it has in the recent. I would say, since Obama have got elected, and probably a little before that, but so since we'll say like the late 90s to mid 2000s when that started, the idea that that people are coming for your guns.
Yes.
That you have to hold on to them, and that they
and
want
buy
to
more.
Take, and that they
because they might
to,
take them.
Yes. They exactly. want to take away your way of life. It's yep. become what is your way of life? My way of life is God. It's horses, it's country, it's living on the farm, it's rural living and guns. It's
yep.
it's square dancing and apple pie and pickup games. I mean, it's but that's the that's
now,
the fiction.
Now you're just going to like rural and
for real though, but that's the fiction that
yeah.
they're spinning in these rural and southern
yeah.
stereotypes.
Right.
Like, dude, I see memes all the time that are like the idea. It's right in that idea of rules for dating my daughter. Number
yep.
one, don't. Number two, I have a gun and a shovel.
Yep.
Like shit, like that. Like it's this fiction
it's
of
toxic.
Like if you're a real American, it goes back to the
yep.
cowboy theme.
Oh yeah.
But, like, a real American not only has guns and isn't afraid to use them and also like knows that, you know, before you come for my God, you better not come for my guns. It's just this whole weird, like, and it's no one lives that life. We've all been pitched that fantasy.
And Chris, we should ask you why you own guns. But before we do that, I think there's these toxic ideas of what guns are for. You know, if you own a gun for hunting, that makes perfect sense to me. If you own a gun because you like to go to the range and shoot, that makes perfect sense to me. You know, I get it. You like guns. You like shooting guns. I am totally down with that. You know, we all have the things that we like to do, and if shooting guns is one of those things, but I think the toxicity comes when you start to do things like, well, I have guns to defend myself from tyranny. Like the idea that you're ever going to be able to stop the American government from storming your house. If that's what happens, you want to believe that you're going to be one of those Minutemen that defended America from the British.
You're the good guy with a gun.
Yeah,
I'm going to be one of the people behind every blade of grass with my rifle.
Yeah. I believe that I'm going to be the guy that's going to stop that school shooter.
Yeah.
When in reality, no, you're not. There was a guy with a gun in the school in Florida that didn't get to stop that shooter. No. You know, and it's the toxic stories that we put forward, the romanticization of gun use that seems to be the toxic part of the puzzle to me.
I saw a picture of Reagan just before he was shot. It was just an arrow pointing at all 12 people around him that was like, this guy has a gun, this guy has a gun, this guy has a gun, this guy has a gun. And then the last person that pointed to that had a gun was the guy that shot Ronald Reagan. Like, no amount of guns will ever truly protect you from guns. Right. That's like the horror of guns.
Right.
I want to say, going back to when I was talking about this fiction, like, there is a liberal side to that fiction, which is the liberal fiction, whereas if you want to say the conservative one is, you know, homespun, down country, southern stereotypes with guns and God and everything. The liberal side is, I couldn't hold it. I'm afraid of it. Like, they're so, like, they terrify me. Like, they're the worst thing ever. It's this idea that you couldn't be a blend. Right. You either have to love guns and therefore love God and therefore hate social progression and therefore be in full conservative values, or you can be socially progressive and far left and you have to hate guns and never want to touch them and only eat tofu. It's just this shitty, like, it does no one any service.
I really like tofu, and I think tofu shaped like a gun sounds great.
The us versus them mentality is killing America.
I've often said that, like, I didn't grow up in a house with guns. My dad didn't have a gun when I was a kid growing up. He grew up on a farm. They had guns.
Yeah.
But my mom wouldn't allow us to have, like, toy swords or toy guns or anything like that.
We could have toy swords, but we couldn't have toy guns.
And so, but I feel like the first time I ever fired a gun was in Scouts. It was just, like, a 22 little bolt rifle. Mm-hmm. And it was, we only got to fire at the very end after an incredibly long day of gun safety.
Yep.
I feel like guns existing is a reality that we all have to deal with, and knowing how to be safe around them is important.
And that's why the fiction hurts everyone.
Right.
Yeah.
I feel like if you're just scared of guns, it's not going to help you ever. But knowing how they work and how to be around them is could be handy.
One of the first things I had to do with my kid is I sat him down and explained all that to him, because he's in my house and I don't want that accident to happen.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But then I've taken steps. Sorry,
Tess. I know we're getting close
to the end. Five questions in a minute here, yeah.
My question to you, Chris, before we get to that, is why do you own guns?
Well, for me, growing up, we were poor as can be. I didn't realize it. But we owned a horse farm, and so from a very young age, you know, we were shooting. And so a firearm was always part of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, started with a BB gun, then to a 22, and then to my first deer rifle. and then moving forward. And then I moved down south, and then I got on a SWAT team. And then, you know, really big guns became part of my life.
Yeah.
And then I started being an instructor. So for me, it just, I grew up around them. It was just something that was just, it was no different than having a chainsaw.
It'd be weirder to not have a gun.
Yeah, it was very weird not to have a firearm. And, moving forward, I have my permit to carry. I do carry. And it's more of a hassle than anything else.
Yeah.
And,
well, it sounds like you had guns as recreation, as a type of sport and food providing. You had guns as a part of, as a tool necessary for your career.
Right, right.
It doesn't sound like guns were ever a part of your life for protection, unless it was as a tool, as a part of your job.
Well, there was one time that my gun was used for protection, and that was October 21st, 2012, at 9:56 in the morning. We were in a McDonald's parking lot in St. Paul, and my kid was in the back seat, my 7-year-old son, and we got carjacked.
Oh, wow.
And, they can have the truck. They can have my wallet. They can't have the kid.
Right.
And I can remember every second of that encounter, up to including the 4 St. Paul police officers that were sitting in McDonald's getting their coffee, and a very observant, McDonald's manager who said, "Hey, there's somebody getting robbed out in the parking lot." But had they not been there, that situation would have escalated, because all I wanted to do was get my kid out of the backseat of my truck.
Right.
And
Jesus Christ.
So that was, that was my, my experience.
Your close call.
It was a very close call. I mean, it was, my gun was out.
And yet, you're able to have reasonable opinions about gun control and legislation.
Well, because it is simply because those experiences, you talk to any police officer, they will tell you that they have drawn their gun 4 or 5 times a week, sometimes once a shift.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
There are police officers that will go their entire career and they will never fire a round at a living human being.
Right.
Because that's
kind of how it should be.
That's the way. I mean,
it's the dream.
I think it's the FBI. I know we're running out of time. The FBI estimates about 800,000 incidents just like that every year around the country.
Yeah.
And that's, we romanticize the gun.
I think some people have a gun just in case that situation. And I think some people have a gun because they fantasize about that situation.
Yes, absolutely.
And they have it because they're going to be the fucking hero. They have it because they dread having to use it.
Yes.
And that's how it should be.
And that's the difference between responsible and...
Right.
Yeah. We have friends who, I get to listen to them, someone grabs a McDonald's, I'm going to be right there. No, you're not. You're going to be hiding behind a table with the rest of us.
That's where you should be.
Right.
Right. Don't be a fucking hero. Yeah. Anyway, awesome. Thank you so much, Chris, for your time and your answers, kind of helping represent a more rounded viewpoint on the topic.
I hope I provided good counterpoint.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. If nothing else, you're definitely more knowledgeable than any of us are about the subject. But now it's time for 5 questions.
I bet I know more about tofu guns than Chris, though.
I will. I am willing to bet you do.
Molly, do you want to start us off?
Yes. Question number 1.
Yes.
What conspiracy theory do you find the most interesting or compelling?
That 9/11 was an inside job.
Oh,
God, right?
Truthers.
Yeah. Interesting, not compelling, right?
It's like
you don't believe it.
No, I don't.
Yeah, okay, good. Thank God. All right.
I was at Ground Zero the week after it happened. I can tell you for a fact. That was
yeah. It's such a fucking weird thing to see, right? Like,
I know.
It's just, I don't know. Like, there's some that I, like, flat earth, okay, whatever. Like, I mean, I guess your belief isn't really harming anyone. But, right. like, that, or, like, when people think Sandy Hook was a false flag, shit like that, makes me so enraged. Like,
I
know. Yeah.
I feel like there are some things like that where you believe them and it kind of makes you a bad person.
Yeah.
Or a less good person.
Some of them are, some of me kind of go, well, I guess I can kind of see.
Sure.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then your rational brain kicks
right.
in.
Right, yeah. Question number two.
Is that you?
Go for it.
All right. Question number two. What's your perfect 2-week vacation?
My perfect 2-week vacation, and I had cancer a couple years ago.
Right.
I have a dream that one day I want to get as many of my friends together, and I want to trek across an island, and I want to throw my tumor into a volcano.
Oh, this, shit, you have your tumor?
I have both of them.
That's awesome.
I want to throw them into a volcano. And the running joke is I need to find 9 friends who are willing to, actually 8 friends because I'd be the 9th, but I need to find 8 other friends who'd be willing to trek across.
It's so nice of you.
Yeah.
I love it.
Do you have a preferred volcano in mind, or?
Well, I don't, because, you know, really the only volcano, I hate flying, so we'd have to drive somewhere. So.
Oh, that's tough.
Yeah. Limits options.
Yeah, Mount St. Helens, I think, is the only one I could get to.
Yeah.
Mount St. Yeah. Helens isn't that active.
Though, yeah. I'm just saying,
it's a volcano.
You could probably take a cruise to Iceland.
I bet there's an active volcano.
Oh, yeah, you could take a cruise to Hawaii.
Yep.
Hawaii, the Big Island has an active volcano.
Mm. Iceland has Hekla.
Yeah.
Nice.
The gateway to hell.
Yes.
Yeah, it's great.
All right, well, I think we've solved this problem for you. It would probably take longer than 2 weeks, but I think we'll allow it.
Yeah.
Well, you got 18 weeks to do this.
Question number 3. What's a movie or a book that changed your life?
Starship Troopers, the book.
Oh,
okay. Yeah.
Not the movie, the hell you say.
Hey, the movie's fucking good. The book is great, though.
The book is great. The book really kind of set into motion a lot of the way I am today about the fact that, you know, we have, you know, you have to serve your community.
Sure.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you can, you know, the phrase of putting skin in the game, you know, it's like you serve your community and then you can complain about the direction your community is heading.
I'm doing my part.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, that's exactly yep. it. That's exactly it.
That's awesome.
The book, I know people that joined, like, the National Guard or joined Armed Forces because of Starship Troopers, because of reading, like, about learning to fall asleep standing up and getting sleep when you can in the rain and, you know, cool exoskeleton armor.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't hurt either, but, yeah. The book is super different.
Yeah.
And read it sometime. I like sci-fi.
There's other aliens in the book. Like, there's a crystalline.
Are they afraid?
humanity afraid? Fucks their shit up, so.
All right, question number four. Woo, we win. Question number 4. What's the geekiest thing you've ever done?
I snuck into Patrick Stewart's trailer.
That's the greatest.
That's amazing.
They were filming. I don't.
You can take the 5th opposed to.
they were filming something.
Yeah.
And we were working there as medical, and I happened to sit there, and I look over and I go, "That's Patrick Stewart's trailer."
It's like his name on a star or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Sadly, it was actually just on, like, masking tape.
That's so cool.
I snuck in.
Was there anything interesting?
I may have played with his stuff in there.
Yes, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's super geeky. I
don't know if I could have resisted either.
Yeah.
I mean, like, yeah.
That's awesome.
I did run over Myrnus Sirtis at Convergence.
Oh. She'll be back this year, so you can try that again.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that
anymore. All right. Last question. Question number 5. What's your favorite hangover cure?
So my favorite hangover cure is obscene amounts of water. Only because I know the physiology of it.
Because you're a paramedic.
Because I know Well, when we went through paramedic school, you always wanted to be the, if you were hungover, you always wanted to be the patient for like practical, yeah. With practical skills day. Cause then they would, you know, start a line on yourself and usually it's like, just going to do TKO. No, it's like you reach over and you crank that sucker wide open, run a liter of fluid into yourself and you feel better.
But so my mom was an ER nurse and that's what they used to do all the time after they'd been out drinking and they had to work a double was like start a line and just run a pint of fluid through me and maybe throw some B vitamins in there and I'd feel right as rain. So that's great. Yep. I'm glad to hear that that spans all levels of the healthcare profession. She'll be happy.
That's great. That's great. Awesome. Well, Chris, thank you again for being our guest and for making the trip out to talk to us a little bit.
Thanks for inviting me.
Absolutely. We're Geeks Without God. If you want to answer our 5 questions, send your answers to 5questions@geekswithoutgod.com. We also have a new Patreon patron.
Yay! That
we
want to
thank, Andy Dunn.
Yay! Thanks, Andy.
Old friend of Molly and I, an old friend of our cats.
It's true. Her cats are the bomb. Her cats are named Nikola and Tesla.
Yeah.
Or Edison. No, Edison. Nikola and Edison. That's what it is.
Andy, you're our favorite person for this episode. Does Edison
steal all of Tesla's stuff?
Right? I wonder, but I can't imagine that she doesn't.
Super, super, super territorial.
Yeah.
So thanks, Andy, for being our latest patron. You get to hear this episode like a couple weeks before everyone else, I think. If you want to listen to these episodes early, it's just like a couple bucks a month. Mm-hmm. And if you throw us a couple more bucks a month, we'll throw some stickers and buttons your way. Otherwise, we're Geeks Without God, and we'll be back for more next week.
Bye!
John Wick was pretty cool, though, so...
We're geeks without God. Authority, we don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging and listen to past podcasts at geekswithoutgod.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
All right, so that's good. I made a 9/11 joke.